What do you think could be the next dominant species after humans? Or is it impossible to tell?
Insects, or predominantly ants. So it's sort of like it's a balance. You have to take a balanced view between ethics and knowledge. We're a friend in your ear during these challenging times, and we try and connect people with interests and worries that they may share. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. You, the listeners, send in questions, and it sometimes takes us away from talking about the environment, but we always try and bring it back. Anyway, so I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. And who's the other co-host?
My name is William Mankler. Now, you often find me behind a camera taking photographs, with a drone taking photographs, sometimes taking videos. I'm very, very careful where I do that as well. I always follow the rules. I'm behind a microphone, as I am right now with this podcast, and sometimes in a live radio studio. We've done that a few times, haven't we, Stuart?
Yep.
And in front of a live audience. We were in front of a live audience. I mentioned a couple of episodes ago in the village of Flor in Northamptonshire, very dark place because it was in the evening.
Yeah,
we're going to be doing a couple of talks next year as well, Stuart, myself, in Steeple Aston in Oxfordshire, and then in Woodhall Spa up in Lincolnshire. Is that enough intro for me?
Yeah, I would say so. And we try and keep the big issues in your consciousness, and we're here to try and change the narrative and broaden it out at the very least.
Yeah.
And we're, through actions, we try and address much of what we discuss. Sometimes there's not an action. The action just comes out of the discussion.
It does.
Now, William and I don't really see the question until we start recording. So we're just like you. We're just trying to find a way forward. And no matter what the question is, we discuss. There are six key themes.
Oh, my goodness me.
And the social justice, philosophy, human condition, climate, sustainability, and what's the other one?
Nature.
Nature! He got it!
No, I wasn't reading off a list.
Yeah, exactly.
It's finally sinking in. I think it was because that Susie Darrington had done that a few times, and I was just listening to how she was reciting them and remembering them. Susie remembers them, and I don't. I'm supposed to remember them because I'm on the blooming podcast and... Yeah. She's a guest.
Yeah. Anyway, so who's today's question from?
Today's question is from the town of Ridgway in Illinois. Fun fact, one of the first places I went to in America was Illinois. I went to Champaign-Urbana. Anyway, it's from Olivia.
Yeah.
Olivia's question then, thank you very much for your question, and Olivia has sent in questions before. What do you think could be the next dominant species after humans? Or is it impossible to tell? I think it is impossible to tell. I was just thinking, like, reading that question out, that at the time, well, it said that what really killed the dinosaurs off, the main thing was the huge meteorite impact, which basically almost created the Gulf of Mexico, just how big it was. If you were to freeze time at that moment and say, right, now, without any knowledge of what came next, can you tell us what will be the dominant species in the future? Would humans have been even on the radar? No, they probably wouldn't have. We wouldn't have even been anywhere on the radar.
Yeah, I agree with you generally, but I do have this suspicion it will be insects or predominantly ants.
Well, you could actually almost. I would say you could. You could have this. an argument that actually the insects are the dominant species on the planet right now, because they're just by the sheer volume of numbers.
Yeah,
there are so many insects. Think about ants, for crying out loud. There are billions and billions of ants compared to the humans.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a population of insects, they're counted, unless they're solitary insects, they're counted in the millions, if not billions. Because I remember... I used to do some surveying work at Shotover Country Park, just outside of Oxford, and we used to trap insects. And obviously, that they were killed in this solution.
Yes.
And somebody said, "Is this ethically right?" Because you know, we were, you know, that they were trapped, and we would then identify what insects were around.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah, there you have got an ethical thing on this slant, but." What I would say, if you've trapped one particular species of insect, if you've got one, there's going to be millions of others as well.
Very likely, yeah, it's particularly just, with ants. Yeah.
So it's sort of like it's a balance. You have to take a balanced view between ethics and knowledge. But you could argue that the population, the highest population, is insects.
Yes.
You could argue that humans are having the biggest impact environmentally in some ways, but when you actually look, just change, reframe it, the insects have a big impact because, you know, where the midges are and we try and avoid.
I was just thinking of, like, so throughout that was the idea of what is dominance anyway. Yeah. What do you mean by dominant? We're not dominant in the middle of the ocean, I would say. You know, I would say, like, for example,
our physical presence isn't.
No, but I would say we're not dominant there in certain habitats.
Yeah, certain. We're having an impact.
That's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you go to the wilds of Antarctica, or you go to the depths of a tropical jungle, you know, we're not the most dominant species in those specific places. So dominance is an interesting one. I think we can probably think back to the time of the dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs were the dominant species. But
so you think there's a difference between dominance and impact?
I would say so, yeah. I would also say that dominance is the dominance of the dinosaurs. I think dinosaurs are also a bit like fish, because the whole idea of fish is there is actually no real such thing as a fish.
Yeah.
Because there are a fish is a catch-all name for lots of very, very different animals. You know, if you think about like a salmon, compare it to a great white shark, they're very different. They're very different species, very different, very different animals. But they're still both regarded as fish. It'd be the same with dinosaurs. Dinosaurs dominated, but the variety of dinosaurs throughout the history of them being most prevalent on the planet. Very, very different animals, extraordinarily different. But I do like this what if idea of this question that Olivia sent in. What if it's almost like what if we disappeared for whatever reason? If we are the dominant species, is it what would be the next dominant species? I think it is impossible to tell. You need a time machine, really,
because you don't really know how things are going to evolve. Now, nature has its own drive.
It does, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking of insects really are probably dominant in some ways, as you say, as we both said, because there's so many of them. But even at the time of when I think it was the Cretaceous period, if I'm getting my periods correct, because insects breathe through the skin, if you want to call it breathing. They absorb oxygen through their skin. They don't breathe like mammals, which is through respiration in the lungs. And they then, the more oxygen there is in the atmosphere, the larger they can become. The same with arachnids, I believe. And they were sort of like, back in the Cretaceous period, I think it's the Cretaceous period, you would get dragonflies, ancestors of dragonflies, the size of, like, I don't know, a small hawk, that type of size, but that's as big as they can only get as big as how much oxygen is in the atmosphere.
But just because they're getting big, does that mean they dominate?
Exactly, yeah. So again, that's it's not a
little
not
bit of a debate.
Not of a question. I can, in some respects, yeah. I don't think it's a question that either of us are remotely qualified to answer.
No,
because I think even the most qualified and the most experienced scientists in this arena could come up with some really good answers, and we think Stuart and I could come up with some really bloody good answers, but actually we're pissing in the wind.
That sort of concludes that, I think. Anyway, is it windy where you are? It is here. Anyway, so what we'd like to just say is we're going to take a short break for the next few weeks from our regular output. But we are going to be releasing on a Sunday and a Tuesday some classic episodes to re-listen to. It'll be interesting to see which ones we pick. William will pick two and I will pick two. And we'll do an introduction of each.
Yes, we will do.
And then we'll listen to the episode again. It might be interesting to listen if we pick ones with the old theme tune.
Yeah, back in the day we had a theme tune.
We reversed it. We don't have one now.
That's the last 2 weeks. So this could be the last four episodes of the year, and it's a nice buffer between what we have done, which is our current release schedule of twice a week, and we're going to be moving to once a week to freshen up the podcast. We've talked about it in pretty much every single episode, haven't we, Stuart?
Yeah.
Also, we'd just like to, I mean, it's not on our, we always write down some notes before we start, we press record, so we remember everything we want to say. These classic episodes were selected by a certain criteria. We released a Patreon episode, Patreon video, very recently about what criteria we used.
Yeah.
You have to be an Earth hero or a Beyond Stereotypes backer to do that. So why don't you go and do that if you're not already backing us on Patreon? That's a really, if you want to find out why, how we came up with the criteria on how we chose these episodes, that's the place to be.
So as William hinted at, in 2024, we will be going once a week on a Sunday. We'll be discussing two questions per episode.
Yes.
We'll be back on January the 7th, I believe it is.
January the 7th, yes. We've got two questions. And shall I say who they're from?
Yeah.
And not the questions. Debs is back. I'm frightened already.
From Didcot and Oxfordshire.
Didcot and Oxfordshire. And then we've got somebody from Heaton Mersey up near Stockport. Ella. Yeah. And again, another question. Not so scared of Ella. Debs intimidates me.
Even though she only sends in questions.
They're intimidating questions.
I heard about Stockport. I used to live in Stockport. And,
you did, yeah.
They were, Stockport County Football Club are doing quite well at the moment.
They're not too bad, actually, are they?
And talking to the manager, and he was saying it's brought a good vibe to the town. A little while ago, Stockport was voted the least popular place to live in the country, and now it's one of the most popular places.
Well, they obviously haven't seen Swindon.
Yeah, I think that's the icing on the cake. And if you've seen the Stockport Town Hall, you'll know what I mean.